This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number one league on third down.
Yes. Yeah, there are the Bills, 56% on third down, but it's third and 10, throwing into the wind, way down the field. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be 98 yards to Gabe Davis. A 98-yard explosion. Josh Allen to Gabe Davis.
Very quick trivia question. Why were the Bills at their own two? Do you remember?
More than it just was like a punt?
Yeah. Tywan Jones, I think, kind of muffed it.
Oh,
there was a mistake. They got the Bills to their own two. And then, pop over the top. 98-yard touchdown. It's a great highlight. Gabe Davis. Gabe had his highlights here. He's been cut loose by the Jaguars. We're going to get to Paul Hamilton on some Sabres front office moves in a moment. But, the obvious question is, some want the Davis thing to happen. Do you think it makes sense? It would be effectively free because he's guaranteed the money he was going to make in Jacksonville. No one's going to pay him more than that. So whatever you pay, teams out there are going to offer the minimum. His money is the same. So the cap's not an issue. You want him. A team out there, he kind of gets to pick wherever he goes. So you like the idea of Davis? We'll get a call in on this and then get to Paul. Buff in Dallas. Hey, Buff, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Man, I think Gabe will be outstanding here. If he comes here, he's, I guess, the fourth best receiver on the roster right now if they play today. I put Shakir, Moore, Palmer, and Gabe Davis. The other guys play behind him. And then, for me, it's the case of buyer's remorse for Jacksonville. They were thinking they were going to get a number one receiver, but at best, we know he's a number two. If we get him, I knew he blew out his knee last season, so where is he on his physical? Do you know that information or what?
Go ahead.
For Davis?
Yeah.
He played injured last year. Like, there was a lot of talk of that, which happened, by the way, here.
Mm-hmm.
Was that 2-3 years ago that happened? So he fought through it. He played anyway. I think Mitch Morse, actually, maybe was the one who said he played through injury last year.
Yeah, last year at the end of the season, he had a meniscus tear in the midseason and a PCL sprain, grade 2.
And that can help explain why that happened. But we've been down this road before where, like, oh, Davis played hurt. And then the next year he comes out and it doesn't look that different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say he's the fourth best receiver on the team, but I'm being talked into it as, like, there's really no downside to it.
He also had a shoulder injury last year as well.
Okay.
With the Bills, it was ankle a couple times.
Ankle
sprains in 2021 and 2022.
Yep.
Thanks, Buff, for the phone call. You're being talked into it?
Yeah, I mean, just I haven't heard anything that is downside to it from the Bills' perspective.
Sure. Like if Davis wants to, he can call and say,
yeah,
I'll come for the minimum because I'm making the same. I want to join the team.
Like the most I could get to on downside would be like, would I be worried that he's going to take snaps away from Coleman? And I'm not really worried about that. So, not that he would do it. Like, I don't think the Bills would do that. I think the Bills know how important Coleman developing is. And I don't think, like, oh, Coleman's going to get half the snaps he would have because Gabe Davis is back. I would trust them in that process.
Even in that scenario, if he were to take snaps, don't you feel like that's an indication that the snaps needed to be taken?
It's more about Coleman than it is about Davis.
Yeah, and I don't. Yeah. I'm with you. I wouldn't necessarily expect that. I don't think it's like you said. There's not a lot of downside. You could argue there's not a lot of upside either. And for me, it comes down to, you know, what Davis ultimately wants to do. He could decide he wants to try and win a ring because the Bills are going to be a contender, mm-hmm. or he could try to go to a place like, you know, the Giants or Pittsburgh and show the league he can still play and get a next contract for, you know, 2 years and $16 million or something like that. Thanks, Bob, for the phone call, 803-0550. You can give us a call on that if you want, talking a little bit about Gabe Davis and his release from the Jaguars. Also talking Sabres front office and joining us on the Wester Hotline, Mr. Paul Hamilton, as we have a new member of the Sabres front office. There was a video Eric Staal tweeted out. So Staal is back next to Kevin Adams, not as a player this time, but as an assistant to the GM. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Paul, is this the kind of move you might have expected? This shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. Is this, the Sabres want to beef up their front office and maybe give Adams more minds to bounce things off of, more of a collaborative, whatever it might be? Like, Adams needs bodies in the room to work with him.
Yeah, this is fine. I mean, it didn't really hit me as, oh, this is awful or this is great. It's fine. I mean, basically listening to Eric Staal talk with Martin Brown and Brian Duff, it's almost, and you know, other teams have done this. It reminds me a little bit about when Daniel Breer went to the Philadelphia Flyers. It's almost like he's there for an internship. I mean, Staal, when the guys asked him about, you know, what he'll be doing, he basically said, whatever they want me to do, I'm going to be there next week, and I'm just going to be like a sponge, like listening and learning and, you know, learning the front office and every aspect of it. And he goes, whatever they ask me to do, I'll do. And, you know, he does bring experience, that's for sure. He's a very smart player when he played, and he wasn't that long ago that he just retired, so he knows the league very well. He knows the players he played against and with very well, so he can help from that standpoint also. So, you know, and that's what the Flyers did with Breer. They brought him in and basically taught him every aspect of a front office operation. Then they made him the general manager of their minor league team, but he actually went there and lived in the city, which, you know, Karmanos doesn't do with the Sabres, and it looks like maybe he might not be back. He more was, you know, doing things remotely. So, you know, I could see maybe Staal. I don't know if he would be the GM of the Amherst right off the bat, just coming into the organization. But, you know, I could see him, you know, moving into a role like that eventually. But, you know, it's fine. I mean, obviously there needs to be more done to the hockey department. You know, you need to get I think, an experienced guy who maybe has been a general manager and somebody like that Adams can bounce things off of. And, you've heard me ever since probably before Adams came here. You know, Rick Dudley to me really should have been the general manager, and it just is a great hockey mind. And, you know, it would be, I think, a fantastic mentor for Adams or anybody else that he would be around if he'd be willing to come. And, you know, I've asked around, and, you know, I was a little surprised by the answer that I thought, well, Rick Dudley probably wouldn't take the GM job here if it were ever offered to him. But people tell me that he probably would, you know, if it was. So You know, that's a name right there where I've been kicking that around since before Adams was even here.
Real quick on that, Paul, you know, I'm thinking back to way back when the Sabres were purchased by Terry Pegula. One of the things he said is, like, there's no salary cap on coaching. There's no salary cap on scouting. The idea that the Sabres at that time kind of he viewed them as they could get advantages by spending more in places that weren't the salary cap. And, you know, 14 years later, the thing I'm getting to is, do you think the owner could be convinced here that you know how to get good players, you're committing to players, but it's really time to beef up your front office, that there's not enough happening in your own front office compared to what other teams in the league might do?
Well, remember, Botterill was fired because Terry Pegula wanted the hockey department gutted, and he wouldn't do it. And that's why Terry Pegula said we felt we weren't being heard. So part of the reason Kevin Adams was hired is because he gutted the hockey department the way that Terry Pegula wanted it done. And then after about a year of that, Adams actually convinced Terry Pegula that we have to start getting some better people back in here. This isn't working like this. You can't have a hockey department like this. And so they started hiring more scouts again and getting the hockey department back with actual people in it. And instead of having the same guy being director of amateur scouting and director of pro scouting and a guy who has never done either job, they did finally decide, all right, we needed to start getting some people in the hockey department, and they're going to expand it now. And again, this can't be your only move. I'm fine with the move. I don't think it's a bad move at all. But, you know, it's to me, not a major move at all. And it's more needs to be done to the department.
Yeah. When we talk about Dudley and the experienced guy that could come into the organization, Paul, what do you think of for that role a little bit? Like, senior advisor especially is something we heard that yesterday. And that actually is Rick Dudley's title right now with the Florida Panthers.
Yes.
Like in terms of like operating within the league, because Adam's been a GM a long time now, but to my knowledge, they never had someone in that front office that had been a GM before. And maybe he would think, and this would even be an admission, just the fact that they're looking, an admission that there are elements of the job that maybe he thought he would have gotten by now or understood by now, and there still just might be a few holes.
Yeah, and this might have been one of the only reasons he kept his job, is he's be willing to do this, but deep down, he also might be hiring the guy who's going to take his place at the end of next year if things don't get better. You know, is he going to get a seventh year? Of course, I never dreamed he'd get a sixth year, you know, but so you never say never. If things don't get better, you're hiring a guy like that, and he might be the next GM of the Sabres, because there's only 1 year left on Adams' contract, which might be another reason why he's here for another year. So you don't pay a guy who is not working, you know, which the Sabres had a very big habit of doing, because the Sabres, like, for a while there, it's like everybody gets a contract extension, whether they deserve it or not. It's like, well, let's keep giving contract extensions. And that's the reason why he was paying a lot of people money that when they weren't working, when he's firing GMs and coaches, and because he kept giving people contract extensions when you're scratching your head going, why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There also is, too, this has maybe been a little bit more in question lately, the idea of the Sabres can't get anybody to come here, can't get anybody to say yes. And that's another thing that people will think about when we're talking about experience, more credible hockey people working for them. But then there was also, I mean, Jason Zucker did say at the end of the season that he doesn't think that that's the case around the NHL. So I don't know, how much of that do you think is an element here of someone they would bring in would help them? Maybe it's not even just with convincing players, but just looking more credible around the league than they are now.
Yeah, I think I think Staal makes him look a little bit more credible from that kind of a standpoint for the job that he's going to be doing. And if they would get somebody experienced in here, yeah, I think it would make them look more credible around the league. I think it's more difficult to get players in here because you haven't made the playoffs in 14 years than maybe an experienced guy with some general manager's experience to come into your front office. I think it's harder to do with players, and maybe it would be for the hockey department to be able to do that. So, you know, I've been thinking for a while now, you know, boy, if they could get Sam Bennett in free agency, but it's like I'm thinking to myself, why would Sam Bennett ever in a million years even? You would have to so much overpay him. Mm-hmm. You'd have to pay him probably Darlene money or something to get him to come here, because, you know, you're going from a Stanley Cup champion team last year and a perennial good team to a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years. Plus, I'm sure Sam Reinhart would fill his ears with, you know, because Sam Reinhart felt kind of shafted. Well, that's the reason that he told Kevin Adams he wouldn't be back, because, you know, as Sam Reinhart said once he became a Florida Panther, I did everything I was asked to do there. And he was a good hockey player here, and they never once in three different GMs offered him a long-term contract. So, you know, I'm sure if for whatever reason he would consider it, I'm sure, you know, he wouldn't get a real glowing recommendation from Sam Reinhart.
Well, I will say, to connect on this, you mentioned Bennett. I don't think either the Sabres have any shot in heck on getting a guy like that from a Stanley Cup champion. But I was looking at Dudley's career yesterday, and the last time he was a GM was in Atlanta, and he poached two guys off that Chicago team, Bufflin and Ladd. So, again, he's not working for the team yet, though. So
yeah, yeah. No, it's just, you know, one of those things that, you know, you look around. I mean, Bennett is exactly the type of player that I talk about when I'm talking about a veteran top six guy. I mean, here's a guy that he gets better as the playoffs go on. And you know, just I think the exact guy I'm talking about when I talk about the Sabres need to add a guy to their top six, the way he plays totally fills the role that I'm thinking.
Paul Hamilton joining us on a little state of the Sabres here as the front office changes or tweaks continue to happen. Paul, there's also some out there, Craig Gervais talking about Bo Byram. You know, you want one of these players. Is a Byram trade a way to get one of those guys that you're talking about? And what do you think the likelihood of a Byram return? You know, there's three opportunities or three possibilities. Trade him, play on the deal, or extension. What would you list as the favorite right now for Bo Byram?
Probably trade him, I would think. I'm not totally convinced that Bo Byram wants to sign a long-term contract. Sure, he has to sign something for a couple of years. He's not a unrestricted free agent for a couple of years. So you may only be able to get him for a couple of years if he's not interested in a long-term deal. And then you've got a couple of years to make that type of a trade. And yes, I think he's the type of guy that maybe could get you a veteran type of a defenseman to play with Owen Power, who isn't a bottom-tier defenseman on your team. It seems like when they get those veteran defensemen, they're guys that are basically washed up in the league or just don't have the ability to play in a top-four spot. And so, yeah, I think Bo Byram could get you something like that. So we'll see where that goes. I think both kind of walked on eggshells when they were asked about it at the end of the year. So I would say probably the most likely scenario would be a trade, but I think if he's somebody you do trade, you're going to get good value back.
Yeah, and Paul, I guess, you know, when you said walked on eggshells, from what we understand, and he probably told this to you, like what he's looking for, there seems to be a lot out there that Byram wants a larger role. And, you know, money wouldn't be it and fit wouldn't be it, but to be behind Darlene and or Power, he wants to be a number one defenseman. So I guess what I'm getting at is, if in fact the Sabres trade him because it doesn't look like he'll sign, we shouldn't take that as some sort of identity crisis, how the Sabres can't sign anybody. It should be more about how Byram just maybe wants something different for himself.
Well, he had a pretty good role here for a lot of the time, and you know, the numbers tell us that really the only time he played at a top level was with Darlene. I'm like, okay, then go ahead and re-sign him and let him play with Darlene. I mean, you're looking for a partner for Power right now, and you know, Darlene and Byram are both capable of playing the right side. And when they played together, They actually both played on the right side at different times and had some great numbers together. So that would solve the one problem. All right, now you've got a pairing for one, and it worked extremely well. So I would have no problem with that at all, and I don't think he would either because he's going to be playing a lot when he's out there with Rasmus Dahlin. Every time I sit there and watch Forsling play, I thought, boy, it would be nice if the Sabres. I mean, that is, again, the absolute exact guy I'm thinking of.
And that guy came out of nowhere. I mean, not completely out of nowhere, but beginning of his career, no one was thinking about him being this good.
And look at how well he played at the Four Nations with Dahlin. I thought the two of them played extremely well together. I thought Dahlin had a really good Four Nations tournament despite being sabotaged by his coach almost half the time.
Yeah.
But I thought the two of them really were together, and I think he would be a great person for Owen Power also if somehow you ever could get your hands on him. Again, that is the guy I'm thinking, a guy like Forsling who could come here for a while, be a veteran presence for Owen Power, always be there for him, and just be a steady influence for him. Again, that's the type of guy I'm thinking.
If I could return to the front office stuff just for a moment, Paul, Frank Saravelli yesterday was talking about Seth Appert having an increased role, maybe just increased voice in the hockey department. You had talked earlier in the week about potentially Lindy maybe being that, and maybe that still is the case, but I don't know. Do you have a thought on Appert from an assistant coach position maybe having more of a voice than a typical assistant coach? I don't know if you watched that Sabres Embedded from the trade deadline, but I mean, he's in that room and he's speaking up quite often and people were listening.
He was speaking up about players that he knew of.
Okay.
And he knew very well. That's why they were asking him about it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it makes no sense to me. That's why I'm like, really? Is this really true? I mean, and Frank isn't the best insider. Let's put it that way. He can be wrong, and it wouldn't be the first time.
I think we thought Paterka was getting traded at the deadline after we were watching him. But
Yeah. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying that makes no sense to me at all. I mean, he has enough problems with a power play that's in the bottom of the league. Why are we taking away his focus from coaching the team? He has enough to do with that. Why would you be one or the other? If you think he's better suited for the front office, then make him part of the front office if that's what you want him to do. But I don't want him splitting his duties between coaching the team and running around trying to do front office stuff. It just made zero sense to me at all, especially since, Seth Appert, I think, did a great job with kind of mentoring J.J. Paterka and Kulik, guys that he coached down in Rochester. Maybe it hasn't worked as well with Quinn, but with the other two, I think he's been instrumental in helping them become better NHL players because he knows them very well and he knows how to deal with them and how to talk with them. So I think he did a good job with that. But, nobody did a good job with Lindy Ruff's power play. So, I mean, to me, concentrate more on that than the whole thing makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Take care.
We'll keep you posted on the Sabres front office if they continue to make changes or what's going on there. But Eric Staal joining as an assistant to Kevin Adams. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 803-0550. The Bills underway with phase two of the offseason program. Rookie camp about to get rolling. We'll talk to Sal coming up at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow, we have the great Dane on the show. Dane Smith. As the Bandits go to the NLL Finals.
You got to ask him about three-peat versus... We never came up with another name, did we?
We didn't. We're working on it.
Trolling the Chiefs, though.
That was my idea.
I wonder how he feels about it.
That was my idea. If you missed it, the Bandits, if they are to win a third in a row, just tweet.
Can't do it.
At the Chiefs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what three straight looks like. It's a funny idea. You can't do it. You can't possibly do it. No, you can't.
Are they not back to back to back?
They would be.
But this is what three straight looks like.
You simply can't do it. All the bulletin board nonsense around sports, the last thing I need is the Chiefs who spent a year fired up from Kermit the Frog at Raiders training camp are now going to be like, oh, did you see what the Buffalo Bandits said about us in May?
What will they do?
But again, like, I just even hearing like any of that could motivate, just whatever.
803-0550. You're working on some Gabe Davis trivia?
I've got some Gabe Davis
trivia. Oh, some Gabe Davis-based trivia. We'll talk. Take
you
your
want that
calls.
Instead of 06 Hurricanes trivia?
Oh, I mean, probably. Probably. Okay. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We'll get to info on phase two. What can the players do now that they couldn't do before? We've got some of that. I also want to get into a little bit of... Connor Orr had an interesting idea. We'll get to this today. About retiring numbers. Like, let's stop retiring numbers. He has an idea what to do differently. So Abdul Carter of the Giants asked for 56, sorry, that's retired, asked for 11, that's retired, and football's running out of numbers for some teams. Connor Orr has an idea. I'll run that by through the course of the show as well. 803-0550 on Davis on the Sabres front office. You can join us. Wide open phone lines for you on WGR.
And I would like to correct some people. Some people think that he is a diva or he's cantankerous. I talked to the Steelers folks. George Pickens is demonstrative on the field, but he is not an uncoachable player. In fact, he does have a great way about him in the locker room and is very well liked in Pittsburgh. For the Dallas side of this, they sat on an all draft. Everyone wondering, why are they not drafting a wide receiver? Why are they not drafting a running back? They took an offensive lineman. They get a player who I think is the best available prospect for a third round pick, and then they can decide if they want to re-sign him.
Peter Schrager on the Cowboys trade, getting George Pickens. Pickens was suspended by the Steelers at one point for conduct.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It is interesting there that as he's talking about it, he said he talked to people with the Steelers that say he's coachable when that's the team that just sent him away. So it's kind of interesting to me.
Right, right.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Thursday, May 8th. We're 6 days from the schedule release and probably a couple days from finding out little pieces here and there.
Start putting the puzzle together. I love the puzzle.
Yeah.
Putting the draft together or putting the schedule together.
We know the teams playing international games, the 2025 London games, teams that will host, which should we think that I saw yesterday Jags, Browns, Jets are all hosting in London.
Mm-hmm.
And had we not considered that the Bills could play the Browns are on the road, right?
The Browns, is that one of their road games?
Yeah, and so are the Jets. So
okay, the Bills, idea they could go to London again.
Yeah, did we rule that out for any specific reason that they couldn't go? They have a road game against the Browns and a road game against the Jets and a road game against the Steelers, who are playing in Ireland.
I don't think they'll play the Jets just because of the division, but they have done that a couple times recently.
Yep.
I guess it could be Cleveland. Why couldn't it be
Cleveland? I'm almost waiting for someone to write to me, we ruled that out because of this report.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, I hadn't even... The only big, exciting road trip I thought was possible was Ireland if that happened, but the Jets and right. the Browns do host a game over there. So
right.
I don't know. I saw yesterday we might even know the order of those games. But
the London games?
Yeah.
Okay.
What weeks they are, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bills went to London two.
It was week 5.
Yeah.
When they played Jacksonville.
Week 5, 2 years ago, and that was early.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole controversy about when they went over.
Yes.
And how that affected everything after.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't need another London game.
It is fun to think about.
Double.
Remember the things that we have argued about along the way?
Yes.
While the Bills are really good.
When
you know, we're all family arguing about something, whether it's draft strategy or free agency or the guy they sign off the street or what day they went to London.
Yes.
We are just right. bickering about like
were they wearing the right cleats against Cincinnati?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's mid-October and nothing really matters for 3 months. Let's argue about something.
Yeah.
They went the wrong day. Whatever. That's kind of.
I don't even remember what day they went. What was the problem? They went on Thursday? They went too close?
I don't remember. I think they. Well, the Jags were there the week before. That was
well,
a
we
part
knew
of
that.
It.
We knew that.
The Jags were there the week before.
But then there was something the Bills did that made it feel like they did it wrong or they would have done it differently the next time because they went on. I don't remember, though, if it was they went too early or they went too late. I think it probably has to be they went too late.
Yeah.
Maybe they, did they go on Friday or something? Their body clocks were all messed up.
It was a home game for the Bills. And for people that saw that stadium.
That game, what happened in that game? Milano got hurt.
What happened in that
game? Jones got hurt, and Kyrie Elam got cooked by Calvin Ridley all day. But we did find out another thing. Like, Elam was hurt. Like, that was forgotten. He didn't play for a while after that, and it was like confirmed like 2 weeks later that, oh, yeah, he was hurt during that game.
One thing that happened in that game was it was a shining example of the Dorsey offense. Where
yeah.
it was, by the end of it, oh, they got their yards and they scored maybe 20 points, but they were never within a touchdown and the defense made some big mistakes. But it was yeah, they're getting yards, but everything looks hard for them era yeah. of the Ken Dorsey downfall.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Brady came in and things started to look easier for the offense.
That ended, that ended up being right. I mean, Allen throws for 359 in that game, but the idea that it doesn't look easy, doesn't look right,
saying,
and then
like
within a month and a half, he's gone.
359, and it was, but it looked hard.
Yeah, 359 for him. Diggs went 8 for 121 in a touchdown. Davis went 6 for 100. Hardy went 2 for 62. Oh, everybody, that was everybody eats.
803.
They say a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of comeback because they scored right. 7 points right at the end of the half.
That's right.
That was in the era where
they were playing catch up.
They also lost to New England that way, where the offense was asleep for three quarters and then wakes up at the end and they lose.
Yep.
Anyway, memories. Jake in Buffalo. Hey, Jake, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I got one thing I'm kind of speculating on. You know, my wife and I are dying to go to Ireland. We would really love this Bills game to be there with Pittsburgh. But what happens, you know, maybe if the stadium's not ready next year and the league's keeping something in their back pocket, would they do back-to-back international seasons, or would they maybe save that international game next year for a home game?
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any indication at all that the stadium's not going to be ready.
No, I haven't heard anything like that.
So if you were ever in a spot like that, I guess you could open the season like that because you'd have to play somewhere else. But I don't think you're going to get faced with that hypothetical here.
Right, because the Bills just...
The stadium's going to be done in the spring, let alone right. by the season.
And the Bills on the next rotation of hosting an international game, since they just did, doesn't that mean they're off a couple years? You do it every how many years?
That's a good question. I don't think it's set in stone, though, because they had gone so long without hosting one in the first place, right? They'd gone 9 years.
It had been a while.
Or something.
Yeah.
So maybe I bet they'll host a game a lot faster, or it'll be a lot closer together than it was last time. I don't think they're going to go 8 years without hosting one.
No, that's right.
Especially now that some teams have 9 home playoff game or home games during a year.
We already know the Rams are going to Australia next year.
That'd be cool.
A game played at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Mm-hmm.
Would I rather they play in Australia or Ireland?
Can I give you a fun question? Mm-hmm. What time is that game going to be on?
In Australia?
Well, here.
Well, I can guarantee you a billion percent it is not going to be at like 3 o'clock in the morning, if that's what you're thinking.
No, right
they
now.
They will never.
Wait a minute.
It'll be about the TV window.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah. What time will the game be? Australia is 14 hours ahead of us.
Uh-huh.
Right now, we're going to do one of these segments where our brains hurt on time. Right now, it's 9:43 p.m. in Australia. So what time would you play a game in Australia?
9:43 right now, uh-huh, in Australia?
Yeah. You play it at noon in Australia?
No, they'll play at midnight.
They'll play?
Yeah.
You're telling me they're going to sell tickets, yes, to a game to be played at, yeah, midnight?
Absolutely. They'll play at midnight. Ali fought Foreman at 2 o'clock in the morning in Zaire, Africa.
That's right.
Because of the TV window in the U.S.
That's correct.
They're going to do that.
The Rumble in the Jungle was indeed at 4 a.m. local time.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. But
they'll do that. They'll play a game at midnight. They're doing these games because of the TV windows. They want the early morning TV. They can say they're growing the game all they want.
But here's the thing. Okay, so you say it's going to be at midnight.
Midnight Australian
time. That means it'll be 4 p.m.
Oh, wait, did I mess that up? I thought I had that.
Like I said, we're going to make our brains hurt.
Okay, so right now it's what time, Australia?
9:43 p.m.
P.m. So I'm going 2 hours in advance to get that 9:30 a.m. window.
Okay.
Or the 9 a.m.
So
window.
The Rams game, local time for the Rams, you're now putting it 6 a.m.
Oh, crap. I forgot about L.A.
They got to move it. To get the Rams.
This also depends on who the Rams play.
Sure.
Because their local time would also be different, unless it's a California team.
So you got to hit a window here.
So wait. So these West Coast teams, though, have never been playing over in London? Because their games would have been at 9:30 before. If the Rams not played in London, they must have at some point.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
This is my East Coast bias, though, that I never think about the West Coast TV part of it.
How many Western teams have played in London?
Okay, so if you can't have the midnight. Yeah, so if you go to the next day. Then, how do I get it to
Germany? Seattle played in Germany.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seattle played in Germany?
Yeah.
So a Seattle fan had to wake up at what, 5 o'clock in the morning?
And probably.
Okay. So you could still do that, midnight, Australian time. But if you go to the next morning for Australia, how do I get the game at 4:30?
This is the other
East
part.
East Coast time.
Here's the other part about it that's kind of tough to square is they're so far ahead. It's like it's tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Later in 3 hours, it will be tomorrow in Australia.
Here we go. 4 p.m.
My brain hurts.
4 p.m.
Can't
East.
Do this.
This is what they're gonna do. 4:30. East Coast time.
Yeah.
Which is that's a national spotlight window, right? We always talk about that. And it's lit. It's what time is it out west for that? That's noon.
1 o'clock.
So that works.
Yeah.
That would be 6:30 a.m. Australian time.
They're going to play a game at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
6:30 in the morning Australian time.
The Bills just had an internal conflict about what time to leave for London. They're going to fly 17 hours and then play at 6 a.m.
Someone's going to do it.
If you delay that by 4 hours, though, then you start here at 8:30, and then you start out west at
a 10 a.m. game.
Yeah, then it'd be 10 a.m. in Australia, and out west it would be...
Well,
this also would mean that you'd be playing the games in different days, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So the if the Bills were playing the Rams, Josh Allen would be playing
in the future.
A game in the future or the past.
It's Monday over there and it's Sunday here.
Would it be considered Monday Night Football?
These are great questions for next year. Listen, they play Monday Night Football.
It's Monday Night Football. It's Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
They use the Monday Night Football stuff on Saturdays as it is.
That's true. Yeah, they don't hold firm on that.
All right, I've got to eject on this segment as fast as possible. I can't. The time zone stuff.
Haven't you been to Australia?
No, but I have family there. And, and if the Bills were,
Sal's been to Australia.
If the Bills got that call
to go to Australia,
it would be a big time. We should go. I don't know how feasible it is.
One way to avoid all of this is you just go to the game. Although you're going to be mad at me if I'm right and you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to a 6:30 football game.
True.
Because you let your body adjust. Maybe you just don't even do that. Just never adjust your clock. Never reset your clock. Treat it that way.
I don't think. All right, we got a break.
Ireland's easier.
We got a break. Maybe they don't play the Rams next year. I thought it was a potential matchup, but it doesn't look like it is. Anyway, 803-0550. The Rams are going to Australia, and the Bills are maybe going to Ireland. We'll find out.
This year, though. They're not going to Australia this year.
Yeah. They are going to Maui for their mini camp, the Rams. They have mini camp.
The Rams are?
Yes. They have mini camp in Maui. There you go.
That's kind of sick, actually.
That's great if you cover the Rams. Hey.
They don't even do anything in mini camp.
Right. Just going to Maui for a couple days.
It's more just a team vacation to Hawaii.
Sal, top of the hour on phase two for the Bills. Rookie camp. We'll ask him about Gabe Davis and if he thinks it could be a reunion. The Bills love their reunions. It could be effectively free. So Sal, top of the hour here on WGR. Hey, golfers, have you picked up your WGR VIP golf card? For $129, this is what you get. 18 at Diamond Hawk, 18 at Shamrock Hills, 18 at Attica's 10th hole, 18 at Bobolink, an hour at Golf Dojo, a box of Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, $25 gift certificate to Rick's Direct Golf Warehouse, and 18 at Destroyer Golf, which is Park Golf. That's 8 golfing destinations or items. For $129, you save like $200 getting this.
Yeah.
Go to getmyperks.com to grab one and, you know, plan to take a little tour, the WGR VIP golf card tour. Getmyperks.com for that. We got to get out to Shamrock Hills. We're doing the tour as a group. We did Diamond Hawk.
Yep.
Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th hole coming up. We'll do all that.
Next week's going to be in the 70s, I think.
That's nice.
Maybe next week we can get out there.
I saw you got out yesterday.
I did. It was beautiful. Beautiful outside. Good day of golf. Nothing crazy spectacular happening on any front. Tri-County, the course I played at yesterday, that is a hole where I've decided 250 yards, there's a creek, and it's a par 4. Would you go driver or would you lay up?
On that hole, I have driven the green, hit the pin, and missed like a 6-foot eagle putt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun to hit, like,
yeah.
Wow, what a tee shot. I missed the putt. Great.
I've decided I'm going driver every time on a hole like that.
Yeah, why not?
Come on. Just driver every single time. Yeah, why not?
803-0550. We'll get a break in. Sal on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on Gabe Davis, who has been released by the Jaguars,
mm-hmm.
and on the Bills as we get into phase two of workouts. The Bills are in phase two, and rookie camp is on the way. Jeremy and Joe, Sal next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.